FMD and illness. So we kind of talked about that, and you have a number of clinical trials kind of ongoing at the moment.
Well, we have clinical trials of many different things, you know. So they range from diabetes, several cancers, autoimmunities, Alzheimer, cancer prevention. So those are just the ones that I'm thinking of right now. But in the autoimmunities, inflammatory bowel disease, also multiple sclerosis. So those are just some of the ones that come to my mind.
So how closely is you and your team involved in these trials? I mean, they're being run by other organizations, I believe, but are you working with them in kind of most cases?
I help them, of course, design it. You know, at the beginning, the clinicians that approach the FMD, they may have very limited knowledge of the mouse data. They may have read a few papers, and of course, they cannot have knowledge of all the other clinical trials that are running and not published, right? So this is why they usually come to me. I spend some time helping them and discussing what may be the best way to use it, and then they of course they do the trial on their own. I usually have very little to do with their trial, but sometimes they come back, or in most cases they come back to me at the end, with the paper. And of course, you know, I sometimes help them with I just give them my opinion on the paper.
Excellent. Would you normally use FMD with some other intervention when you're looking at these diseases? I mean, is there any that are just FMD?
Yeah, so it depends, right? So for cancer, clearly, I always say we've never cured the mouse with only the fasting mimicking diet. So the almost every paper we've ever done, it's FMD plus chemo, FMD plus radiation, FMD plus hormone therapy, et cetera, plus kinase inhibitors. Yeah. So, yeah, so I think for cancer, clearly, the FMD is very good. Right? It's as good as chemo, which is really remarkable, right? If we could demonstrate that clinically, that would be a revolution, right? So if we could demonstrate clinically that a cycle of FMD is as good as a cycle of chemotherapy, that would be remarkable. It's going to take some time to test it, and we'll see the results. But we don't see cancer-free survival. We only see it when we combine the FMD with the therapy. So, for example, we published last year the combination of fulvestrant, the estrogen receptor blocker, palbociclib, a CDK4/6 inhibitor, and the FMD in mouse. So this is a hormone therapy for breast cancer in the mouse. And the two drugs, like for patients, they delay the cancer progression. Eventually, the cancer becomes resistant, and it progresses. With the FMD, the cancer regresses, goes down and down and down until you start seeing mice that are cancer-free, right? So it's really powerful. And we just published a new paper where we do the same for triple-negative breast cancer by combining kinase inhibitors with the FMD, and really remarkable. Again, we could drive a cancer instead of up, we drive it down. And the more remarkable part is that what we show long-term inability of the cancer to become resistant. So this cancer, but I think when you get to diabetes, metabolic syndrome, pre-diabetes, that's a different story. I think that if caught early, we clearly show, let's say, hypertension in those that may have 135, 138. I think there's a lot of potential. We're not at the point where we can say we know for sure, but I think we will be within a year or two, where we'll say this can be treated, can use as treatment of diabetes. Of course, the FDA is going to have, in the United States, that's going to have to make that determination. And regulatory agencies are going to have to make the determination in Europe. But we're very optimistic now, based on lots of clinical data, that that this can work instead of drugs.
Interesting, because I hadn't thought about that before. So, because the fast mimicking diet is not a drug, and so I have, like, So the FDA looks at drugs and says, okay, this is effective or not based on clinical trials. So would the FMD follow a similar path? So they say like this process is approved for cancer or diabetes?
Yes, yes. So now the process has been started, you know, for cancer. And so the fasting mimicking diet is now being turned into an actual drug. It's a food-based drug. It's what's called a botanical drug, but it's a drug, right? So and the compromise now, as we're going to approach the FDA, is going to be how much of the food are they going to allow? So we're going to basically try to protect the patient and say the patient needs to have a food variety of foods, but the FDA is probably going to push towards simplification and more as few ingredients as possible that can achieve the fasting mimicking effects.
Right. So, okay, do you have any idea of when that would be available?
No, because this is the FDA process. It's a very slow process. Now, it is possible, and that's something that is a legal question, the fasting mimicking diet can be considered as part of programs as a food because it is supporting the standard of care. So as long as there is a standard of care, and the food is just supporting the standard of care, it's not trying to replace the standard of care, then that already is allowed, right? So any oncologist in the world, and particularly oncology clinics where they have a dietitian, they recommend food, right? So they could recommend, you know, the standard diet, or they can recommend some of these drinks and, you know, and shakes and things. So that's already available, right? So then it will be up. It already is up to the oncologist and the dietitian at a hospital or center to decide what the nutrition should be. Now, obviously, when you get into a fasting mimicking diet situation, there is a lot more concern. And so that's for the company and for the clinics to figure out, and for the lawyers to figure out, you know. But it's also, of course, something about the patient, right? So we always sometimes forget that at the end, the patients are the ones that are waiting, particularly those that don't have anything that is working, right? Those are the ones that are waiting for things that could change a lot in their as we've shown in the clinical trial in Holland. There was in the chemotherapy, there was a fivefold difference in the portion that did not respond to the chemo, those that did all cycles of the fasting mimicking diet versus those that did none of the cycles, right? Fivefold, and it's pretty remarkable, and also remarkable to see a dose response, right? So a dose response. So the more cycles of the FMD the patients did, the less likely they were to not be non-responders to the chemo. So this was both for the clinical response, looking at imaging, but also for the pathological response, looking at what was the percent active cancer cells within the tumor.
Have you looked at the mechanism for why the FMD is helping reduce the cancer?
For 20 years now. So we have a pretty good idea of lots of different things and lots of papers on this, and but the main, I think, if you had to summarize it, the main result would be the revolution of the cancer environment, right? So not just the nutrition, the sugars, the amino acids, the proteins, but also the factors: insulin, IGF-1, IGF-BP1, et cetera, et cetera. So leptin is another one. So it's just making it, if you think about a cancer, it has evolved for the great, great majority of people, it has evolved having excess of almost everything, right? Excess carbohydrates, excess amino acids, lots of growth factors. So it is evolved in an abundance condition. Right? So as this is taken away from them, and why do I use the word evolve? Because there are actual mutations, right? The mutation accumulate and epigenetic changes accumulate within the cancer cell. And so the cancer cell, if it has lots of sugar, it does not contemplate, it does not reserve necessarily the ability to go into a starvation mode, right? So most cancer cells cannot, right? So whereas the normal cells, of course, they know how to do that very well. So now you have a differential problem, right? So the normal cells, not only they don't see that as a problem, they use that fasting period to do a reset and to improve. But the cancer cells instead are confused and they're looking for sugar. They're looking for amino acids. They're looking, and not everything changes in the law. So some amino acids actually can increase during fasting, but it's just a revolution. Now you have lots of ketone bodies, low sugar, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so that's what makes it difficult for the cancer, but it doesn't necessarily, it does not kill all the cancer cells. And that's where you have to come in with the chemo, with the radiation, with lots of drugs. And not just generic drugs. They should be the drugs that are very specific for that cancer. They work very well on cancer. So, you know, if we have, for example, we've shown vitamin C works very well with KRAS mutated cancers, colorectal cancer. So if we take that high dose vitamin C and then we combine it with the fasting mimicking diet, we get a very powerful anti-cancer effect in the mice. And so now, you know, we're interested, for example, in clinical trials pursuing that.